Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
It's Guitar Nerds Gear of the Year!
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Gear of the Year 2020 podcast finale. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined by Matt Knight.
Hello there.
Jay Cross.
Hello.
And Mark Packham.
All right.
Exactly. Now, so far in this series, we've dealt with Best Guitar of 2020. We've dealt with Best Amplifier of 2020. We've dealt with Best Other Thing of 2020. And we've done Best Effects Pedal, also coincidentally of 2020. Which only leaves us to deal with three things for this episode. So we've got to deal with the listener's choice. Deal with it. It's difficult to put up with. But yes, we're going to have to talk about the listener's choice. We're going to talk about 2020's gear of 2019, where we will review our choices from last year and decide whether or not they were misplaced or not. And then we will decide on the overall winner of the best guitar thing of 2020. That's how this will go.
How did the best bass thing turn out, Jai?
The best bass thing isn't actually recorded until after this episode. So,
how does that
listeners
work?
Listeners will know.
Best.
We don't know yet.
Yeah. Listeners will know because it happened.
I assume Joe knows as well because he reverse engineers everything.
So I won't know because I'm not going to listen to it.
Bass Guitar Nerds is a separate podcast entity. So its Gear of the Year is separate from Guitar Nerds. So we're not considering. The problem is, okay, so in the future, maybe we will include it. But the issue is, as you know, due to the pandemic, we're all obviously remotely podcasting at the moment. Now, unfortunately, there isn't a podcast audio platform. You know, we use something, dear listener, called TriCast or Cast to connect sort of high quality audio, like better than a Zoom call or whatever. There isn't a platform that supports more than four people.
We could have done it without you.
Yeah, so we couldn't include Naomi and JD in these ones. So I thought, well, best to keep the bass guitar nerds completely separate and then run these ones on their own as well. So
when you say these ones, are you talking about us?
Hmm?
When you say these ones, we'll run these ones by themselves.
These ones, yes.
You're talking about the three of us?
These podcasts. Nerds podcasts.
Gotcha.
Yes, absolutely. So far, we've had Best Guitar, which for the first time ever finished in a dead heat. So we entered a tie of the Fender American Pro 2 Jazzmaster, the Harmony Juno, and the Epiphone Coronet all have been entered.
You were gonna send those around so that you could stake your, you know, prove your point about the Juno.
Yeah, there just wasn't time.
You still, there's plenty of time. There's 2 weeks.
And then there's the in the amp category, we've had the Positive Grid Spark won that category with the Milkman, the Amp 100, and the Boss Nextone. coming in as runners up in effects. Our winner was the Chase Bliss Benson Amplifiers Automatone Preamp Mark II, the runners up being the MXR FOD and the Origin FX Bias Tremolo. And then in Best Other Thing, the winner's been the Two Notes Captor X, the Torpedo Captor X, and the runners up were the Chox DC7 and the Neural DSP Corey Wong plugin. So those are the things that we're going to be discussing in when we come round to working out what is the best product, the gear of the year, the gear of the year champion of 2020. But first, let's talk about you, dear listener. Let's talk about the listener's choice. Now, maybe I need to give you guys some suggestions beforehand, because the way this normally works is I put out a post and I say, hey, what do you think? And everyone on the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitarnetsforum, can comment on that post. And then I'll go through that post, take a look at the suggestions, and anything with a few votes, I'll set aside. And then I'll put the sort of top five or six things into a poll on Facebook, and you can all vote. Funny how it turned out, there were virtually no guitars, in fact, only one guitar that got more than one mention, and there were a lot of oddball, a lot of boutique things, and maybe that's the sort of the, you know, the year, it's been a year of more boutique-y things, perhaps, but the only guitar to get more than one vote was the Fender American Pro 2 Jazzmaster. So the same guitar that we're talking about in our Gear of the Year. And then a lot of the other things were recording related. So we had the Two Notes Engineering Torpedo Captor X. Of course, for us, that's one best other thing already. Then we had Helix 3.0, their software update, which we definitely included in our lineup. We did include it, didn't we?
I don't think we did.
No, we didn't in the end. In fact, no. Yeah, I think it was in my list, but we all agreed not to talk about it. It was very good. But, you know, you're sort of on slightly dodgy ground with a software update. So, you know, we ended up not putting it through, but you, dear listener, actually voted for it in droves. In fact, you know, the poll obviously is one thing, but when people were commenting on it, the Helix 3.0 software was the second most commented product in the, you know, before it went to the poll. The Origin FX Revival Trem, again, that's one for us that's done really well, come as a runner-up in the effects pedals category. So there's one. The Neural DSP Corey Wong plugin, that also featured, and of course that came as a runner-up to the Two Notes in our Best Other Thing. And the Eventide Black Hole, a pedal that certainly was in our shortlist for best effects, but none of the hosts championed it, so it didn't. Or did you champion it, Jay Cross? Yes, Jay Cross championed it, absolutely. I'm sorry, Jay, that's short
sighted. That's all right, me.
But yeah, so you know, relatively on the money, but you know, a distinct lack of amplifiers or really a lot of guitars. I was surprised not to see the Positive Grid Spark mentioned. I thought that would be the product that's kind of hot on everyone's lips at the moment.
People are bored of seeing it.
Probably.
I mean, in all seriousness, I think a lot of it does come down to showing the state of everybody's kind of position when it comes to gear this year. Is people have all been stuck at home. They haven't had a chance to go out to, you know, big guitar shows. They haven't had a chance to go to shops. Maybe those kind of purchases just have gone to the back of people's minds when their you know, maybe financial stability was less stable, you know, they were less stable financially. And people wanted to go down the route of doing home recording. So it actually doesn't surprise me at all that so many of the listeners' choice options were home recording software, because, you know, at times like this, you kind of make investments in the areas where, you know, you're going to get the most marginal gains. And for a lot of people, I really do think that is kind of home recording. And, you know, because sure, getting a new pedal is cool, or you can go out and you can buy a new guitar, but, like, you know, if you can't play it, if a tree falls in the woods, do you know what I mean? Like, it's,
yeah,
if people don't see you playing it, does it really exist? Probably not. You know, maybe they've only got a couple of, you know, a few dozen Instagram followers. Doesn't count. Doesn't count if people don't know you got it. So you might as well make use of the home recording. So it doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the thing that I think has kind of maybe slightly skewered the results this year is that so few people contributed to coming up with suggestions, but then of course lots more people voted. In fact, the comments section of the poll was full of people being like, oh, these aren't, you know, the right products to be in this list. And, you know, by that point, it's like, well, it's too late for that. You know, everyone had their chance to suggest a product. And I feel that because of that, because that this is what we'll come to, the way this has worked out is the two runners up on the Helix 3.0 software, that has made it into a comfortable third place. And for a long time was a comfortable second place in the listeners' poll. In second place, the Two Notes Engineering Torpedo Captor X, which I really feel I was surprised this didn't win when I saw the selection of products, because I think it's definitely the most beneficial for people who are recording at home, who have, you know, full live setups that they can now make the most of at home thanks to this incredible product. And topping the bill, the Fender American Pro 2 Jazzmaster. And I'm not discounting that that's not a great product. I just think there are a lot of votes there by people who are like, well, this is the only guitar in this list. Whereas I think, you know, some of the more creative products, the creative products here are more Marmite, because you've got the people who can't turn on a computer who are never going to select a Two Notes or the Helix 3.0 software.
Are you talking, you're talking about me again, Joe?
No. You're charming. And you use the Spire as well, so... but I just mean, I feel that the Fender American Pro 2 Jazzmaster has ended up there almost by default. I think if there'd been a second guitar, I think would have seen the Two Notes Engineering Torpedo Captor X winning by a long way. And the votes that the American Pro 2 Jazzmaster has got being split between that and whatever other guitar had made it into the list. But this is just hyperbole. There's, you know.
It's been amazing. We're saying that the only guitar that listeners cared about this year was the American Pro 2 Jazzmaster.
Mm, yeah.
That's pretty amazing, really. You know, Jazzmaster used to be, as we talked about in the main guitar podcast that we did, Jazzmaster used to be quite a niche thing. Now it's the one that everyone's interested in.
I guess you're right. Maybe I'm looking at this too negatively.
And I mean, I think it's also interesting that listeners chose this guitar at the same time that we did, because I think it really is kind of the standout one in the series in terms of what it has superseded. And you know, clearly that's not just me being like, oh, I like Fender guitars, meat. You know, clearly that has filtered through to other people as well. It's just you lot who are stubborn.
yeah maybe so. Maybe if it didn't have that contoured heel, or you know, maybe if the one I'd tried wasn't in the you know, the
Dark Knight.
Yeah, I was
are you okay, Joe?
Yeah, I was trying to think of a funny thing, but now it's been too long and my brain hasn't told me the funny thing. So I was trying to remember the name of that movie that the Dark Knight finish looks like, the one that's all in black and blue and has the dude in it.
Oh, The Dark Knight?
No.
Oh.
No. You
the
know
Dark
what
Knight
I'm
Returns?
Saying.
Demolition Man.
No. The movie, the
Passenger 57.
No. Oh, God damn it.
Ghostbusters 2.
No, come on, help me out. No, we're going to get through this. Come on. You can help me out here.
You need to give us some more.
Jeff Bridges, sci-fi, two colours in the whole movie. Tron, thank you.
Tron.
Let me start again. It may be if I hadn't got this Fender American Pro 2 Jazzmaster in this ridiculous Tron finish, I'd like it. There we go.
Nothing ridiculous about Tron, mate. It's a very
also
good film.
Tron wasn't black and blue.
What was it?
Green, like, and pink, I think, wasn't it?
It was black and blue and black and red.
Yeah, black and red. Yeah.
Okay.
And black and blue when they're on the light cycle.
Oh, oh, such a good movie. Why don't we just stop this now and we'll go and watch Tron?
Well, yeah.
What did you think of Tron 2?
Terrible. I thought it was all right.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
Best bit, Daft Punk. They were in it for like 10 seconds.
Well, I enjoyed it. I enjoy anything with Jeff Bridges in.
Yeah, so do I.
Except for that RIPD. I didn't like that. But everything else, Jeff Bridges, wonderful. Anyway, so that is the listener's choice, as it
what,
were.
Tron 2?
Tron 2 is the listener's choice. Yeah. It says it on the box.
In first place, Tron 2. In second place, the Two Notes Engineering Torpedo Captor X. And in third place, the Helix 3.0 software. Well done, listeners. You have contributed. You have spoken. And that is what you have said. Now, we need to move over. Yes, it is a strange year, isn't it? Now, we're going to do 2020's gear of 2019. So,
I like this one.
Yeah, this is a good one.
I don't know exactly what we're going to talk about.
So last year, in Best Guitar, we selected the Shergo Provocateur and the Fender American Ultra Stratocaster as our runners-up, the winner going to the Music Man Mariposa. In Best Amplifier, the Victory Amps Copper and the Orange Tremlord 30 came in runners-up, with the Fender Tonemaster Twin taking that category. In effects, we have the Old Blood Noise Endeavors Rever and the Chase Bliss Mood in runners-up, with the Empress Zoya winning that category. Then we had a few additional categories, which we haven't done this year, but we are going to consider. We had Most Useful, which was won by the Boss Wazza Air. The runners-up were the Orange Pedal Baby 100 and the much-talked-about tri-parallel mixer. In Best Looking, the Mariposa doubled down on its awards, winning that, with runners-up going to the Walrus Audio Lillian and the Chase Bliss Mood. Another runners-up award there for the Chase Bliss Mood. We had Best Name, which was won by the Mood again. Most voted for product, with runners-up going to the Mariposa, its first runner-up, and the Dusky Electronics Hypatia. And then we have Most Innovative, again won by the Zoya, two awards to the Zoya, with the runners-up being the Boss Wazza Air and the Boss Wazza Tube Amp Expander. Best Overall Product in 2019 went to the Boss Wazza Air, with the Empress Zoya, the Fender Tonemaster Twin, and the Mariposa. I guess we don't really give runners-up.
Can I go back to 2019?
Oh, no. We'd selected the Wazza Air in first, with the Zoya and the Tonemaster as runner-up, so the Mariposa dropped off on that one. Sorry, yes, you can go back to 2019, Matt.
What a year.
So much promise.
Being outside, hanging out with our mates.
Yeah, being at your house doing Gear of the Year together in a room around a table.
At your house doing Gear of the Year.
Yes, indeed. Oh, man. Oh, it's making me misty-eyed looking at this list, thinking if only
we didn't miss any DIs. I don't think we included any.
Very good.
Duh. Yeah.
What a year. I mean, not to say that there's been bad products this year, but definitely looking at last year going strong. I mean, there's an instant winner.
All right, let's stop the nostalgia. Yeah, let's talk about what do we think about our... Because we don't even have to keep the original three. We have all of the aforementioned products available to us. Do we think there's anything retrospectively that maybe should have got in that hasn't? Do we still feel that the Wazza Air is the winner?
For me, absolutely, because it's the only product that I still said that I wanted to buy at the time, and I still want to buy it. I just haven't got around to it yet. There hasn't the opportunity hasn't presented itself this year.
And what's funny is it became the perfect product for lockdown. So people playing at home with guitars and headphones and taking a break from working on a desk and things like that. And I mean, it's been a great year for that product. Globally, the demand's been amazing. And I think people are just, you know, there's a lot of different ways that you can play with headphones, guitar and headphones, but this just felt like a more enjoyable experience. Sure, it wasn't the most in-depth. It wasn't like, you know, having 100 plugins or, you know, maybe even plugging into a guitar and having an amp in front of you or whatever. It just became a great way to sit and practice and just enjoy playing guitar for a little bit and not really having to worry about anything. So I still think it deserves to be up there, if not the top. I think the real
here
mistake.
Go. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. I'm ready. I've been waiting all year for this, Matty. All year I've been waiting for this.
The tri-parallel mixer.
Here we go.
How we dissed Jay and his stupid utility product until we realised, till I realised, I bought one and then was like, actually, it's a bloody great product. Bloody great. So, yeah. I think we have to kick the Zoya out and put the tri-parallel mixer in.
I mean, there's no way we're kicking the Zoya out. I completely agree. I mean, I think that what you've just said there is completely fair, Matty. I mean, the Wazza Air clearly came along if only we knew how opportune that moment was for that to come out when it did. And you know, there are so many people who've been stuck at home and maybe haven't been able to wouldn't have been able to play their guitar when they've got their family around them or whatever. And you know, it really is it was a great time for that. And you know, people who've had that is you know, what a great moment. Personally, I obviously still prefer the Twin, the Tone Master. I still think that was the best product of last year, and I wouldn't back down on that, despite the fact that I do think contextually the Wazza definitely made up some ground considering the pandemic. But just in terms of what that product is, what that Tone Master is, what it kind of represents, and how long it will be around for, I just think that technology and that amp just sounds amazing. And so for me, that's still the same. And you know, I said at the time that the Zoya shouldn't have got in ahead of the tri-parallel mixer. So yeah, I mean, my top three is exactly the same as yours, Matty, but I'd like to point out that that was my top three this time last year as well. So you know, really, who's the winner here? I would say me.
I think the Zoya for me is still an incredibly important product of 2019.
When was the last time you plugged it in?
Well, I've got it here quite, I've played it a few times quite regularly. I've tried to do all sorts of different...
When was the last time you plugged it in?
Well, that's not the point.
Plugged in right now.
Was the last time you played it?
No, but quite regularly. In fact, the Zoya is going to be the brains of my pedal board against Matt in the great pedal off.
So it's been a while since you played it. 2021. It's been a while.
I don't think that's the kind of the relevant thing here.
For me,
last year, you know, I thought I was very considerate to you, Jay, to let the Tone Master get in above the Mariposa when the Tone Master.
A guitar that you didn't like.
Yeah, I mean, a guitar
that you didn't like.
Do you know who I saw playing one in a tiny desk session? Only last night, Hayley Williams, who actually normally plays the old Ibanez Omar Rodriguez Lopez guitar. So I was like,
yeah, but this isn't
incredible.
Hayley Williams's gear of the year. This was supposed to be
she
guitar
has
nuts,
amazing
and you put
equipment.
Forward a guitar that you didn't like.
Well, I take that back.
So there's no point in you saying you were gracious.
It's
you
obviously
let
a
guitar a
fantastic
that you
product.
Didn't actually like.
What I'm doing here is I'm going above and beyond myself. I'm thinking of more than just me, and I'm saying, well, hey, if
can
Hayley
we all
Williams
go above
and people.
You?
If Hayley Williams can get behind the Mariposa, then I think we all have to. So for me, it has to be the Wazza Air, the Zoya, and the Mariposa in for top three. But the Zoya, I think, is clearly still so relevant and such a fantastic.
Despite the fact that you haven't plugged it in for ages,
I've told you I have.
When was the last time you plugged it in?
Well, I'm saying it's literally going to be on my 2021 board.
Right. Okay.
Can so I?
This isn't 2021's gear of 2019, though.
Can I jump in and say that actually the three products should be the Wazza Air, because we know that loads of people have bought them. They've been massive products over lockdown. I'm going to say the other product, Tri-Parallel Mixer, just because two of the hosts of this have... Jay, did you buy one in the end, or were you
no,
just
I didn't.
Raving
no,
about it?
Matt bought
one.
Yeah, I didn't buy one because I wasn't going to be able to play live with it.
Can I say that the other thing on this list, pulling from the best looking category right now and the best effects category, is the Chase Bliss Mood, because I've seen so many pedal boards with the Mood on since this time last year. It seems like
you've seen pedal boards with the Mood on?
Yeah, with the Mood on, with the Chase Bliss Mood on them. It seems like it's become an absolute go-to pedal for almost everyone with, you know, a kind of heavy pedal, you know, a large pedal board. The mood is absolutely everywhere.
I retract my top three, and I completely agree with Mark. I think he's right. The mood has definitely had more impact than the Zoya. As incredible and experimental and progressive as the Zoya was, the mood has definitely had more impact. We cannot deny the Tri-Parallel Mix is a fantastic product, and obviously the Wazza Air is. I think by selecting those three, we'd certainly be picking the three products that have had the most impact on the guitar community since their release. Whether or not I think the Tone Master Twin is an absolutely unbelievably incredible amp, it's still something...
They haven't really had a fair shake, because you release an amp and then in a year, the year after, you know, no one can do any gigs. And I know obviously they've got some good features for home and stuff, but you know, twins are really made to be cranked and played loud and used for.
No, and they've got attenuation. But
yeah, I know that. I realise that, and like I said, it's good for home. But you know, an amp that sort of size, you want them for doing gigs and that. Whereas I kind of feel like that Wazza Air, Tri-Parallel Mixer and the Mood fit a bit more with the theme of 2020, which has been do as much as you can at home.
It's a very strong argument, Mark. I'm shocked to hear such astute reflections from you.
The Mood is everyone's who's got a big pedal board, I think, this year has bought a Mood. Just, you know, when I see the pedal boards on various forums and stuff, everyone's bought one. So I think that needs to be in there.
I agree.
Okay. Well, I completely agree with Mark. Matt, sorry?
I said I agree. I think we have seen it everywhere. It's not a new effect, but it's definitely a little bit more inspirational than some of the other things in terms of plugging it in and having a play. Really, really solid product, I think.
Yeah, I agree. So it's, you know, J Cross, I guess, how are you feeling? Are you staying unwavering? Do you think this argument by the Mood, has it convinced you somewhat?
I think it's a great pedal. I can't, you know, I don't deny that it's everywhere. I think it's great. I don't agree that it was the best thing that came out. I don't think it was one of the top three things that came out in 2019, but that's fine. Clearly, as has been evidenced by this podcast over many years, it always turns out that I was the one who was right. And, you know, maybe it just needs another year. You know, maybe that's what it is. And if that's the case, Fedders, don't worry. It's absolutely fine. I can deal with it.
You're going to have to wait.
This time next year, Rodders.
We're not going to do this next year. So you have
that's
to wait.
Fine. We'll all remember.
You'll have to wait 3 years for us to do Gear of the Decade so that we do all of the Gear of the Years, all of the winners from all of the Gear of the Years since 2013.
Why are we doing Gear of the Decade in 2023?
No, it's our decade, so it will be our 10th years' time. So we have to do all of the gear from 2013 to now. But I guess, that's what we'll do. Yeah,
J Cross, 2020's guitar host of 2019.
Okay. So, gentlemen,
there's some
we
great
are
products
saying,
there, though. That's
we're saying
products.
That the Wazza Air comes in top with the Chase Bliss Mood and the Tri-Parallel Mixer in as runner-up. That's what we actually think a year on from making the decision, yes?
Bloody lovely.
Yeah.
And I own all three of those products.
Well, there you
Matt
go.
Matt and I, purchaser of... 2020's purchaser of 2019 products.
You are an astute purchaser.
It's good that someone in this podcast actually buys something.
Oh, listen, I want to get some Wazza Airs, but because of everything that's gone on, they've basically been out of stock for a year because everyone's been locked in, and it's their only way to get a loud guitar sound through wireless headphones. So
yeah, I'm sure carry on.
I was going to say I'll pick some up when the moment arises.
Yeah, when I get an allotment and a pair of Crocs, I'll be sure to buy a pair of Wazza Airs as well.
I can imagine you, Joe, more than anyone I know, I can imagine you having an allotment with a shed down the end of it with a pair of Wazza Airs and like a little guitar. And you'll be, I don't know.
Playing guitar to speed up the growth of his oranges.
Yeah, what will my crop be?
I don't know. I can just imagine weed, you stockpiling hemp. Like definitely. Food and growing your own veg and stuff. So, yeah, it seems very, very plausible.
He's growing his own drawer. That's what it is.
Yeah, totally. That, exactly that. Allotment.
I was asking, actually, about the allotments around the corner from me the other week. Were. Just to see. But, you know, it's there's a waiting list. You know. Anyway. So we've covered listener's choice. We've covered 2020's gear of 2019. That leaves only one thing left to do in this podcast. And that is to crown the winner of gear of the year 2020. So we've got to start debating between not only the winners, but the runners up as well. And of course, we had a dead heat in guitars with the American Pro 2 Jazzmaster, the Harmony Juno, and the Epiphone Coronet. We've got the Positive Grid Spark, the Milkman, the Amp 100, the Boss Nextone, the Automatone Preamp, the Origin FX Bias Trem, the MXR FOD, the Torpedo Captor X, the Chox DC7, and the Neural DSP Corey Wong plugin suite. How do we do this? How do we normally do this, Mark Packham?
The way I would do it, so for me, there are about three or four products that I think definitely need to be in the top three. So I don't know how you guys are feeling about it, but there's some stuff that's certainly standing out for me. So I would say what we should do is say what those products are, and then we see what aligns, and then we can fight if everyone says, oh, this definitely needs to be in the top three, then it should be in top three, and the rest we'll fight about it.
Okay. So what? So everyone's got to say a top three? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, you start, Joe. Like top three or four, like things that definitely need to be in consideration for the top three. I think that's the way to do it.
Okay, so let's do that. Well, why don't we start with you, Mark, seeing as you suggested it. What few products stand out for you as being real
So I'm taking a few things into account here. I'm taking our arguments into account. I'm taking the listener feedback into account. And kind of just general... I'm thinking about 2021's gear of 2020, like what will have the longevity.
That's a good thing to think about, I guess.
So I would say the ones that need to be in there, and I'm gonna amend the spreadsheet here. I'm just going to put a little column for me, and I'm going to say American Pro 2 Jazzmaster needs to be in there. I'm going to say the Automatone definitely needs to be in there. I'm going to say the Captor X needs to be in there. Does the Captor X need to be in
Interesting.
There?
Interesting.
I mean, I think the Captor X does. I wonder if, you know, when you're considering, if you're considering what's going to have longevity and you're not questioning a Jazzmaster in a different colour, but you are questioning a product that's made using rigs, an affordable option for home use. It's just one of those products seems to me to be way more relevant for
the classic Joe Branton passive aggression. He's doing rears his ugly head after only a couple of minutes.
No. I'm saying we can decide on our own criteria for putting the things through, but don't say that it's you know the longevity of the product if you're you know, don't say longevity of a product and then be like a Jazzmaster in a different finish, as if that's going to have longevity.
Put it this way, though. Like, so boring. American Pro 2 series could run for, you know, 5 to 10 years. Let's put it that way. You know, it's like that is the American, I don't want to use the term standard, but you know what
that's I mean. It's the American way.
Yeah, it's the new American standard. Yeah. The last one lasted, a year, right? The Pro before it got upgraded?
No, they were like three, five years.
5 years.
Yeah.
Came out in 2015.
Crikey, is that how long? Five and a half years.
That's how much you haven't cared, Joe.
Yeah.
I guess so, yeah.
So, you know, that could be another... Yeah,
time
five
speeds
or ten.
Up as you get old, mate. That's all I'm saying.
Put it this way, Captor X, they might do a Captor X Mark II next year, which is as good, but with more stuff. You know,
you're right. That's a bad thing for me to judge it on. I can't say because it will be.
Having
replaced.
Said that, though, I do think, you know, given everything that's kind of gone on this year and the products that are most suited to everything that's kind of gone on, Captor X does seem like a kind of very relevant product and a very kind of headline product. So I'm going to say that probably needs to be in there. I'm just trying to think if there's anything else on the list. The Juno, I'm struggling with because I haven't tried it. You know, if it was between the Juno and the Coronet, I haven't tried either of them. If someone said, which one do you like prefer the look of? I would say the Coronet. Which one do I think probably plays better? It's probably the Juno because it's a much more expensive guitar. But I feel I can't put either of those in there because I don't feel I'm as qualified to judge it because I haven't played them.
Played the American Pro 2 though, have you?
No, but I played a Pro 1. I know what I'm going to be getting from that because it's, you know, it's classic Fender, you know, American, again, I don't want to use the term standard, but American standard quality. So I know what that is, and I like the look of all those new finishes. So I think it's a great looking guitar. I know it will play well. I know the build quality is going to be great. I don't feel like that disqualifies that from this, whereas the Juno is a much more unknown quantity. The Coronet, you know, I certainly love the look of, but again, it's sort of unknown because all I've heard it in is YouTube videos, which can be deceiving, and I haven't played one. So I'm going to say no to the Juno and the Coronet. The Spark, I think, is a really interesting product. It's obviously, again, it's picked up, you know, clearly loads of people have bought them, and it's been, again, something that, as we mentioned, has been at the front of every YouTube video that I've watched. There's a big kind of push on those right now. But it's not a product for me. You know, if I'm going to go for something like that, I'd much rather get like a set of Wazza Airs. I
actually completely agree. I think the Spark's a wonderful product and it obviously does some different things. But if I was picking for the sort of use that you get the Spark, I'd go for the headphones.
So the Milkman I like a lot, but you know, we talked about it. It's a great product. Is it a standout product this year? Looking at the other things in this list, I'm not sure it is.
Is Amps had a really easy category this year.
Well, yeah, I kind of feel the same way about the Nextone as well. You know, I like the idea of there being an amp available that if you've got into the kind of Boss ecosystem through Katana. I like the idea that the Nextone would be the next thing that you buy. And, you know, it's obviously packed.
The next one.
Well, exactly. It's, you know, it's packed with sounds, it's stage ready. And again, I think it's a great evolution for someone who has, you know, played a Katana and wants the next thing. The Bias Trem, I haven't spent much time with, so I'm not going to put that through. The FOD, I love it, as I described in the pedals episode, but I feel, given the strength of the other stuff here, I don't think it's going to make final three. Captor X, we've talked about. The Chox power supply, great. I love a good power supply. Again, do I think it stands up against something like the Automatone in terms of, you know, a headline grabbing product? I'm not sure
yes.
It does. Well, of course you think so, Jay. But and the Corey Wong, I'm not fussed about software. Let's put it that way. I'm sure it's a great product, but would I ever use it? Absolutely not. The computer that I've got, I don't think would even run it. It barely runs Google Sheets. So I don't think Corey Wong's the neural DSP stuff is going to be one for me.
Well, it sounds like you've balled yourself into a top three there with
the Captor X, I think so.
The Automatone, and the Ampro.
Interested to see what you the rest of you pick. They're all great products. So that's the problem. And I don't know which way you guys are going to go.
Jay, I imagine you want me to go next so I don't get political.
why not?
Okay. Mine will be relatively simple. Obviously, I'm going to favour the Juno. I just think it's more interesting. I think the Jazzmaster, I think the Jazzmaster is fine, and that's all I think it is. And I don't mean that rudely or to, you know, offend. I'm not trying to be difficult with that. It just didn't grab me. It didn't grab me, and that's probably because I like vintage feeling guitars, and it annoys me when Fender move away from that.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
And I dislike that they're modernizing their standard. I dislike that the biggest company in the world for guitars, ultimate offering was a weird blue to black finish and a cheap feeling neck. For me personally, it's not. Cheap feeling neck is me. You know,
that's
not saying
mean,
the right thing.
Joe.
I just
yeah.
Mean,
it's just not. It's just not true
feeling.
Though.
I mean,
it's just,
I
it's
don't
not,
like
but
it.
It isn't
yeah,
a
it's
cheap
not for
feeling.
Me. It's yeah, exactly. So the neck's not for me, and I don't like the finishes. I don't like contoured heels. I don't like Fender being modern because I feel that all other brands look up to them, and I worry about the next. You know, I worry about other products being available that I like, you know, over the next few years. If this is,
God forbid, Gibson started doing robot machine heads and sculpted heels.
Sure. Maybe you're right. I just feel very uninspired by the American Pro 2 Jazzmaster. So for me, it's not just that it's not quite out of these three. It really isn't a contender for me at all. Whereas I love the Juno. I thought it was original, interesting, different, fun, really well made. I mean, really well made for the money, and a nitro finish, you know, and just all the hardware, like everything about it, the custom made gold foil P90s was really like, oh, this is what you should be able to get for a grand, whilst we're looking at an increasing price for a standard American guitar from all the other major companies. So I thought the Juno was an absolutely incredible product. The Coronet is great. It's just you know, it's just a cool Epiphone. And I think that's all it will ever be. It's certainly exciting at the moment, but it's fine. It's great. It's a cool Epiphone. But for me, the Juno stands out by miles out of those three. I agree, again, the Spark, like, not really for me. Definitely a cool product, but, you know, I'd sooner buy the Boss Wazza headphones. Miltman and the Next Tone, again, I think amps this year, I'm not even going to select an amp this year because I think it was such an easy category. It was like, did you make an amp? You're probably going to be in our category this year because there's not much else. Obviously, the Automatone, I think, is an absolutely remarkable product, and I think it should win this year. I think it's I think it's an absolute turning point. It is a, you know, it's a thing that we will always remember, is that the Automatone changed the game. And I think it's very important that it came out this year, and very important for us to recognize this incredibly wonderful product. And then the Captor X, same as Mark with those last two. I think the Captor X for me has just, I saw someone comment this actually on the listeners poll when talking about the Captor X, that when they went to the last guitar show we had in the UK, which was the one we were all at, or some of us were at, but Birmingham, was it? Yeah. Birmingham? Yeah. And
that was probably the last time I saw most of you.
Yeah.
No, that's not true, actually.
It's the last time we were together for, you know,
a guitar
event. Yeah. But someone had commented saying, you know, I'm going to choose the Captor X because when I went to this show, I noticed that all the brands were using this. And And that's kind of the thing. It's not just a wonderful studio tool, but it has made it very accessible for you know, brands at shows to use this this product in order to get the best sound, so that they can showcase their products, whether that was guitars, amplifiers, or effects pedals. People were using the Two Notes Captor X, not any of the competition. People were using the Two Notes Captor X in order to demonstrate their product on headphones at a busy trade show. And I think that, you know, speaks volumes for the product. I think it's a wonderful unit that lots of people are going to purchase, and that is going to continue to be a mainstay of home studios for years to come. And not just home studios. I think professional studios will buy them because it doesn't need to be a complicated affair. A lot of the competition, the Boss, the Aux, are over twice the price. And sometimes it doesn't need all the, you know, everything you get with the more premium models. The Two Notes does everything absolutely adequately. Matt Knight?
Okay, some good arguments and some good points that I've taken into consideration. You said something interesting, Joe, about amps, and obviously I have my own personal top three, and I did really enjoy playing the Next Tone, but I sort of know that it's not going to be one that's going to go through. Purely, you guys didn't get to try it. I'm sure if you guys got to try it, maybe there'd be a bit more discussion on it. Spark, didn't love it. I also got incredibly bored of seeing it everywhere. Lots of people clearly do. I don't think it's as good as some other things that you can buy. So it's not really for me. The Milkman, am I going to buy a pedal board amp at any point? Probably not. Is it a good product? It is pretty cool. I also think there's a lot of other things out there that are kind of similar. There's a lot of choice in that. So I'm not really thinking of any amps. Pedals is a bit difficult because I bought the Bias Trem and I really love it. I've had it on my pedal board continuously all year. But there was something special about the Automatone, in the sense that, having worked in music stores and done this for so long, it felt like the next step that guitar pedals sort of had to take. It felt like, in some ways, I know this is going to sound crazy, but this sounds, it feels like the next Klon, in the sense that this pedal will be worth so much money one day, because it will be considered the holy grail of like the next evolution of guitar pedals. I think, Joe, you said something interesting when we were talking about it, is that you thought the Flying Faders were the main selling point, and actually a lot of people thought they were a gimmick. I thought it was a gimmick, but actually it turns out that it's just a very cool feature, but actually the guts of the whole unit is incredible and really versatile. And after my schoolboy era and plugging it in again for the second time, spending a bit more time with it, I was like, yeah, would I have that over the reverb? I'd probably get more use out of the reverb, as I said, the drives. Would I have it on a pedal board? Would I own one? Absolutely. But how much use would I get out of it? I don't know. But out of all of the three pedals on there, it would be my choice over the Bias Trem, purely because of the impact I think it's made. And the fact that they've done nearly 1,500 of those units at $799 is just, I mean, it's a game changer. You know, we always talk about on the podcast when we worked in GAC, and, you know, the first time I remember selling a Pigtronics pedal, and it was £199, and that was just obscenely expensive. So I think my first pick's the Automatone. Then, looking down to the next three, Captor X, the Trox, and Corey Wong. And I know, obviously, we're not necessarily breaking it down to those three. Plug-in, same as Mark. Great. I love Corey Wong. I love Vulpec. I think the sound of the plug-in is great. Would I ever use it? No. I think it's been great for some people in lockdown or people working on a computer. I just can't get behind it. I can't. The power supply, after doing the Friday special, I think it's great. I think they're really good, really solid. But the Captor X, I remember when I saw it at the Birmingham Guitar Show, and I sat down and had breakfast with the sales director, and he was like, oh, you know, this is the product, and ran me through the features. Like, this is amazing. You know, it is a great competitor to a product that Boss make, and obviously, you know, things like the Oxbox. And then the price was just like, you know, that's amazing. And it's clearly, there's still a market for the Oxbox and things like the Tube Amp Expander, but they're hitting a much more like market, like most of us, most of our listeners that just want to have a guitar amp at home, want to be able to plug it in and record it. Would I use one? Maybe. Again, I'm not a great recording fanatic. I just like to sit and play, but I think for the price and what they're offering, the UI design, everything, I think it's fantastic. It has its flaws and things that I would rather have differently. But for me, that would be my second choice.
And that then leaves you with three guitars, Matty.
It does leave me with three guitars. And I'm going to really be picking between the American Pro 2 and the Juno. The Coronet, I think, is great. I would definitely consider owning one. But it would be at the nearer the bottom of the list if I was just like had a few hundred quid to spend. I was like, oh, you know, it sounds like fun. So then it leaves me with the American Pro 2 and the Juno. And I've sort of, while you were talking, Joe and Mark, and I was looking at the specs and flicking through the pictures, and I am so unbelievably torn. It's difficult because I haven't tried either, and I would have loved to try both. And even I was like, right, what if it was just down to looks, and they both look really good in their own unique way? I mean, the Miami Blue is possibly one of the best colours I've ever seen on a Fender guitar. On a standard that's not a custom shop, I think it's incredible.
Best colour they've done, well, one of the best Fender colours ever, I think.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. But then on the other hand, you've got this really cool sort of retro looking guitar with amazing specifications, great design, incredible price, that's doing something just a little bit different. But I think both appeal to customers who don't want to be a Strat or a Teddy player or a Les Paul player. So it's really coming down to which one I would buy if I saw both. And I'm trying to take my, not my love of Fender, but how many more Fenders I've played over how many Harmony guitars I've played. So it's like if two were in front of me right now, and it's an impossible choice. Because, and I also know that if I pick one...
Would it help you, Matt, to hear Jay's arguments? Because I'm sure he's going to talk about the Jazzmaster. So would it help to... Because I think Jay's probably going to be more decisive on this than you. Would it help you to hear everyone's argument before you make a decision?
Basically, you're asking Matt if he needs to use your tactics, which is let someone else make the decision.
No, not at all. I've been completely swayed by you throughout. I've been very clear that I really like the Juno throughout. I don't think I've been political this year at all. I'm actually, if anything, I stand more chance of letting Matt make a decision right now than I do of asking Matt if he wants Jay to go. It's just I feel like Matt is completely torn, and, you know, Mark's been kind of lukewarm towards the Ampro. I've been very negative towards the Ampro and very pro-Juno, and I'm sure Jay is going to be the reverse. So maybe it makes more sense for Jay to get to sort of say his bit.
Okay.
I like that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think it's not.
Jay picks the Coronet, you know.
Yeah. My gear of the year is the Epiphone Coronet. Thanks very much, everyone. I'll see you later. I mean, for me, the American Pro is just. So, as I've said throughout all of this, and also in the lead up to Gear of the Year, this year has been very difficult. I actually have not felt hugely inspired all year, really, by gear, and I think that's more because of the situation that we found ourselves in. You know, the reason that I like guitars is the reason that I kind of got into guitars was because of because I like playing in a band, and I like playing live, and I like being around live music and haven't had a chance to do that. And so I've like genuinely really struggled to find the inspiration to pick up a guitar a lot of the time. I mean, I've probably played guitar more this year than ever before, because I'm in my home office and I've got loads of guitars knocking around, and I pick them up and I plug them in and this, that and the other. But in terms of kind of like meaningful playing, obviously I haven't had a chance to go do any band practices, and I haven't looked necessary, and I'm not going to do any home recording. I'm not that sort of person, kind of like what Matty was saying, like I prefer to just play. But because I haven't had the chance to play live and kind of see what other people are doing and go to shows and help other people kind of answer questions about that sort of thing, I've just felt very uninspired, because there's nothing that's there that's like, okay, cool, how can I make my bass sound better for band practice? How can I do something that's gonna make my the guitar player in my band sound better? What can I do here? What can I do there? And like I the whole year has felt quite difficult for me in terms of gear. So when I look down this list, you know, there's undoubtedly a lot of great products on there, but there's actually very few that really kind of make me think, yeah, this is gear of the year. This is absolutely gear of the year. And, you know, I just starting with the Automatone first, because I think it's a good place to start, because the rest of you all put that in your top three. And I agree. I agree basically with everything that you guys have said about it. You know, it really wasn't my bag when I first saw that they were doing it. I mean, I thought it was incredibly cool, but then I saw the price and I was like, it's a bit restrictive, not really sure who that's for. And clearly I've been proven wrong, because they've sold loads. The collaboration with Meris is obviously fantastic. I'd love to try one of the reverbs. That is something that I have wanted to really get my hands on, and I think that'd be great. When I finally did get to try the Automatone, I thought it was amazing. I really did. Like, the range of sounds I thought were fantastic. It is a lot of money, but I also do agree with Matty in saying that it does feel like kind of an evolution when it comes to pedals, and it does feel like someone doing something genuinely different. And although you could look at it and say, well, there's a gimmick there, yeah, but it's also become a platform. And I think that is the big thing, is it's become a platform, which you can see by the fact that they've already brought out a second pedal. So, you know, who are we to say, well, this isn't going anywhere, when it clearly is going somewhere? And quite honestly, I can't wait to see what they do next. Like, what are they going to do in terms of a delay? Are we going to see something like the Ibanez Echo Shifter with those faders? Are we going to be able to put presets in and hear the delay ramp up and slow down in real time? Depending on the settings that you switch between. I think that's amazing. I think that's really exciting. So for me, the Automatone really does have to be there. And I am kind of looking at it in terms of how I try and look at these things often, which is like, okay, what is the impact this is having on the wider world? And, you know, in years past, I've fought hard for like the Ed Sheeran Martin. I thought that was a really important product. I don't think the Taylor Swift was around at the time, but again, I thought that was a really important product. And that's kind of what I look for. And I think that the Automatone is going to have longer reaching impacts than we can see now. And so I think that's definitely up there, and that's certainly a product for me that really is a big hitter. The American Pro 2, I mean, it's difficult, because I think it's great. I think it's great, but it's also a product that I am very close to, and so I can understand that being a factor that, you know, people might think is sort of clouding my judgment. But I think it's amazing. You know, I understand Joe's hesitancy towards it, in that it is the, you know, we're talking about it in a year when Fender are upgrading one of their modern products, and what Joe likes is vintage style products, you know. So we're not looking at like the American original Strat, which you've bought in the past. And, you know, I think that's a great guitar, but if I was given the option to choose, okay, well, what are you going to get? You're going to get an American Pro Strat, or are you going to get an American original Strat? I'd choose the American Pro, because I like the features. I like the neck. I love the way the neck feels, which isn't cheap, by the way. It's a really nice satin finish that feels fantastic. The neck contour, sure, yeah. I mean, that's not really for me. I don't go up that end. I don't see why anyone should go up that end. If you go up that end, you're doing something wrong and you need to chill out, mate. Go down the dusty end. Go up the good end. Go down the good end where you can play E and G. Those chords are amazing. What are you doing up there? Doesn't matter. The finishes, I think, are fantastic. I mean, I like that Dark Knight, but I agree with Mark and Matty. I'd go with the Miami Blue. I think it's amazing.
The first time I've actually ever looked at the Miami Blue because I thought it was more like a Daphne. I really don't like it, that colour. But it does come in a sunburst and a silverburst, which are very good.
It's because you're boring, Joe. Sorry.
Yeah, sure.
And I think that there are things with the Jazzmaster in particular that are really nice, in that you've got the ability to make it sound like a vintage guitar, because you can tap the pickups. The pickups are wound to be hot. They're wound to sound modern. They're wound to be used as a guitar that people who, maybe would use humbuckers or maybe just would use higher output like Tele pickups normally. If someone wants the design of a Jazzmaster, but they've never really got on with the low output pickups, which is an issue. That's the thing that a lot of people don't get on with. And I think that by winding those pickups hotter, but having the option to have them tapped and feel more vintage, I think it's a great option. So for me, the Pro 2 definitely has to be up there. And then the other, my other option, I think really we are kind of too far away from it, but I think it's really naive for us not to look at the Spark, because clearly it has made an impact on a lot of people. And I think in the same way that the headphones did last year, the way that they have carried on into this year, being a product that people who play a lot at home maybe can't turn their amp up as much as they want to, people who do know what they're doing when it comes to recording, I think it's really naive for us to ignore that, because clearly it's made a big impact on a lot of people. And for me, I think that is the other product that deserves to be in the top three.
Fair enough. You think that that's more important than the... What made you not think the Captor X? And I'm not trying to convince. I'm asking because you didn't sort of answer that in choosing the Spark. Like, what made you feel that the Spark was answering more questions about playing at home than the Captor X was?
No, I think it's a really good point. I just think it is, they're two very different products aimed at different people. And you're probably right. The Two Notes probably is more of a guitar nerdsy product. But I just think when you look at the impact that these... When you look at what the Spark has done kind of on a global scale, like looking outside of our little bubble, you know, the 5,000 people or whoever are in the group and however many thousands of people listen to this, you know, it's still a relatively small sample size. And I think when you look at the other, you know, everyone else who's playing guitar, you know, the Spark is a great option for people like me, really, people who are idiots and don't know how to record. And I think that is if I wasn't so involved in this world, that would be the amp that I would be gravitating towards. And I really like thinking about things in that way. That for me is, you know, I know that sometimes it comes down to this. Okay, well, look, are we talking about gear of the year in terms of this is the guitar nerds gear of the year, this is the product for people who identify as guitar nerds? Or, you know, and this is a roundabout that we always get caught on. But for me, like, I really, one of my favorite things about working in a guitar shop was when a kid came in to buy their first guitar and their first amp, and they walked away really excited. And that's being part of that journey and helping someone along that as something that's always like I really feel privileged to have been able to do. And I think that the Spark is more that product than the Captor X.
Very well. Well, there's Jay Cross's choice then, the Fender American Pro 2 Jazzmaster. the Positive Grid Spark and the Chase Bliss Automatone, the only product that we've all agreed on. Matt Knight, before we pick a top three, you've got one more thing to select. You seem to be coming down to between the Juno and the American Pro. Has Jay swayed you towards the American Pro? Bear in mind, he just selected a amplifier that wasn't a Boss product.
Scum! No,
obviously kidding.
Well, there's already two that are going to be in the top three because they've had
Than three the votes. Captor X and the Automatone have had enough votes to appear.
So basically, my vote is either going to put us in deadlock.
Well, you're It won't put us in deadlock. It's going to we don't have to take these as gospel anyway. We can then discuss the top three, but your choice here basically decides whether the Juno or the Jazzmaster go through into being the top three products, along with as it is at the moment, the Automatone and the Captor X.
My life is still not any easier. Really torn. I think they're both guitars, and I've just had a look at the other guitars that come in Miami Blue, and I'm like, oh, Professional 2 Telecaster Deluxe in Miami Blue.
Yeah, that does look really good.
That looks really good. I'm like, can we not just have that instead? I don't like making these decisions. I wish I could have tried the Harmony. I really wish I could have tried the Harmony because I kind of get an idea of what the Jazzmaster is going to be like, and it's going to be good. I think in my personal state of mind, if I was going to buy one and I was going to buy one of these American Pro 2s, I probably wouldn't buy the Jazzmaster because I prefer Strats and Tellys. I'm going to pick the Harmony. I'm going to be at right pain. I'm going to pick the Harmony. Matt, I think if I was going to buy one now, I was going to be like, I think that's a cool guitar. I think it's a really cool guitar, and I'm looking forward to seeing what else they... what else they do. But to be honest, if I'm being perfectly honest, I'm torn 50-50. So I would sort of really let you guys sort of fight
it
out.
Can I argue that listener's choice gets the fifth vote? So that's a good point.
No, because you wouldn't be if it didn't support your argument.
I mean, it will do. When we actually get down to a final three, I will absolutely be bringing the listener's choice into this and the fact that they also picked a product that two of us have picked.
I mean, it's a good point. It's a good point.
I think it's interesting that we've deadlocked on guitars, and I think it kind of only goes to show how tough that guitar category was for us this year. Like, it's the first time we ever couldn't actually even take a winner into this category. So, of course, we're going to be still in deadlock over it. But yeah, I mean, it leaves us with two votes for the Juno, two votes for the Jazzmaster, four votes for the Automatone, and three.
I mean, I think we
Captor
can agree.
X.
Automatone's won this. I mean, I don't think. There's
I mean,
much.
I was trying to hold over some.
Well, sure, sure. But like, four of us picked it. It's just down to like what are the runners up really? And,
okay, so we're all in agreement. I think the winner this year is a very deserved Chase Bliss Automatone preamp Mark II. The Captor X, certainly with three votes, is our second place. But, you know, we just call them runners-up. But the Captor X has secured its place. And then we have a third runners-up, which
it's
we're
gotta
currently
be,
in
It's
deadlock.
Got to be the American Pro 2. Two of us picked
Why?
It, and Listener's but Choice two picked of us, it.
Listener's Choice doesn't count in
but
this
But it should do. I mean, we should be considering that when we pick
You wouldn't
the...
be saying that if Listener's Choice was the Juno.
I would.
You wouldn't
I
be
totally
saying
would.
That.
I totally would.
No, I think it's. I do think it's interesting, though, because... You know, again, there was only the one guitar that
I stand by the fact that people chose that because it was the only guitar.
But what's the only guitar that stood out enough with listeners of the podcast
no,
this
year?
No,
it's the most recent product. That's what happens with these things. If the American Pro 2 was something announced in January, I don't think it would be on anyone's radar by this point.
I mean, they came out, what, 2 months ago, something like that? It's not like it was last week or something.
It was September, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that. You know, wasn't it,
the, I can't remember.
The Coronet came out more recently than the Pro 2s.
Is the Juno even out?
Sorry?
Is the Juno even out?
Yeah, the Juno was announced right at the start of the year.
I just think the fact that we've, you know, two of us have picked it and they're clearly like you say, it was the only guitar that got more than, you know, one mention when you were asking for what products people were into this year for listener's choice. To me, that says that American Pro 2 is the obvious one there.
This isn't to do with the listener's poll. This is to do with the four of us making a decision.
We have to take some of that into consideration.
I don't think we do. I think you can convince me to choose the American Pro 2 as the second product.
But you're not you, but I could convince Matt Knight.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. No. I'm just saying. Do it based on our opinions. Don't randomly choose another category to just because it suits you at this point. That's not proper. You know
you're 50-50 on these two products, right? You know how listeners' choice voted 50-50. The American Pro 2 as the only guitar they wanted to put through to the final vote.
This will be the year of cheating.
Can you just switch your vote to the American Pro 2, please? And we'll just like put Joe to bed.
I don't know how else we would trust people, Mark. I don't know how
people
else
like
we're going to settle this.
I wish Mark could have settled it by actual... by the way that we're supposed to, which is talking to each other about the products and deciding on what the better product is, rather than hijacking a category that is not relevant.
But we each had 10 minutes to talk about everything, and we've come away split down the middle. I'm open to other options.
And you know what way those conversations are going to go? Jay and I are going to go, you know, it's a great American Jazzmaster. Quality's going to be fantastic. They sound fantastic. One of the best colors Fenders ever released. And you're going to go, oh yeah, but it's a bit boring. And then you're going to go, oh, what about this short little guitar?
Why does Joe now sound like Ella? What's going on there? That is opening up a whole different type of conversation.
We know. I did have this weird dream about Joe last night. You know what? You know the way these are going to go, Joe. We're still going to be at deadlock. Matty, I'm not so sure about. I think Matty can be swayed. You know the arguments for. You know that the public's behind you. Don't let yourself fall on the wrong side of history by supporting Joe Branton in this endeavour.
I think select the American Pro 2 Junior, and this will go down like the year we selected the Les Paul Standard.
Which was the best guitar of the year. That was the best guitar of the year.
Joe, the public have already spoken.
It wasn't. In fact, in the year following where we did the, you know, gear of the previous year, we all talked about what idiots we were for selecting
Joe,
it.
The public have already spoken. The public are with us on this one. You are absolutely wrong.
This isn't to do with the public. This is to do with the four guitar nerds, and the four guitar nerds are in a deadlock.
It's to do with our opinions and the impact this product had, and judging by the overwhelming, crushing defeat of any other guitar this year by the American Pro 2 Jazzmaster in the public vote, I think you'll agree with me that the impact of this guitar is more significant than anything else that's been released, or any other guitar that's been released this year.
I don't think that is a good enough reason to select this guitar as the third place
Matt,
choice.
Can you just say American Pro 2 Jazzmaster?
That is literally what I'm waiting for, but I'm not letting you hijack this with the listeners poll. By all means, outvote me. I'm not going to change my mind. The Juno is a better product 100%.
So the three of you need to say
American Pro Jazzmaster. I'll put it in the list and I can be like you're wrong, but I've been outvoted. Right now I haven't been outvoted. Right now it's a dead heat and the Juno's a better guitar. So I'm still going to say the Juno's a better guitar.
Interesting is the fact that you, despite saying I'll make sure I get this Juno out to everyone so you can all try it, you didn't do it. Which says to me that you don't actually have the confidence that we would back you. And really, what's going on here is I just love the guitar so much that I've kept it here with me. You didn't want to share it with your mates. You love it so much you couldn't let it get to be shared with your friends.
I love it through thick and thin
for nearly 10 years. You wouldn't share the guitar.
I'm sorry.
That really sounds like cowardice, I've got to say.
Matt Knight, I want to put an image in your brain, right? The image is you on the shoulders of the Guitar Nerds listeners being, you know, like, yeah, they're throwing you up in the air. They're going, Matt Knight, can't believe you stood with us at this time. We all picked it. Most, you know,
Matt Knight, not one listener suggested the automatone. Think about the lack of intelligence of these people.
Crushing defeat of the evil empire of Joe Branton. Yeah. Imagine like the Ewoks at the end of Return of the Jedi.
A group of people that's third Yub-Nub most popular product was the flipping free update to the Helix. I don't think we can consider their opinions.
Yub-Nub is playing in the background. We're watching Joe Branton's Death Star just in the sky in like small pieces disintegrating. We've got a little campfire and all of the Guitar Nerds listeners are going, Mad Knight, he is the Mad Knight. Pick the right guitar because he's the very best one. Do-do-do-do-do-do, Mad Knight. He is the Mad Knight. Told Joe Branton where he could shove it up. Mad Knight. Think about that, Matt, before you say the words American Proto-Jazz Master.
I bloody well have, Mark, and it's probably the most convincing argument in the entire history of Guitar Nerds. And, I, you know, as long as I get a medal at the end, you know, I'm not chewy, you know, then it's all good.
You definitely are the chewy.
No, I would consider myself... I don't know. I don't know Star Wars that
he's
well.
He's the R2. He's good with machines.
Spock, I guess.
Is
it's the Rock in it.
No. Sure, why not? Yeah. It's got the Rock, Jack Black. It's got all of them.
Oh, yeah. That's a great movie.
No, you're thinking of Jumanji.
No, I'm sure that's Star Wars.
I think it was called The Bus That Couldn't Slow Down. If Joe had only sent me that harmony guitar, then, you know, we'd probably be in a different position. No, I think the real argument is it was the listener's choice. I'm sorry, Joe, but we are going to have to take that into account. If the Juno had appealed to more of our listeners, then maybe we'd be having a different conversation. But... I think the listeners
didn't suggest the automatone either, which we're saying is one. In fact, not one person brought the automatone forward.
I mean, that also sounds to me like you didn't publicise the vote good enough. Like you've been complaining that not enough people voted.
He put it in the Harmony Juno users group. That's where Joe put it.
Yeah, that's where the poll is.
And still nobody voted for it. Matt, I just like I'm really sorry to put this all on you. It doesn't
not
seem
one person
fair.
Suggested the spark either. Actually,
it doesn't seem fair to put this all on you. But I think really there's another argument here, which is Joe's not going to let us go to bed unless this gets settled. So
well, yeah, because I'm not going to sweat because I can't pick a guitar that I don't like. Like even if it was something I felt, you know, nothingy about, I'd go okay, guys, it's fine. But I don't think it's a good guitar. I think it's the wrong step for Fender.
Saying it's the wrong step for Fender is like that's just categorically wrong because it's Fender bringing out a guitar that you don't like. Fender make plenty of guitars that you do like, plenty of vintage style guitars. For you to say this is the wrong step for this company. It's just categorically wrong. It's a guitar for people who aren't like you, and that's how you need to view it. It's not a guitar designed for you. It's a guitar designed for people who want to play kind of modern, maybe heavier styles of music using the shape of a guitar that they really like and traditionally haven't been able to use in the past because it hasn't fit their spec. So for you to say it's the wrong guitar and it's the wrong step, That's just not true. And no, like I think you're being blinded by your own emotion on that.
No, that's a really good point and a really good argument. I think for me, I'm constantly thinking like this is the standard, and the standard should represent Fender, not represent Fender trying to be Ibanez, which is what you know it kind of feels like to me.
But it's not like that at all. It's not like that at all. What it is it's okay. Here are the advancements of technology.
That is what Fender have always been, I guess, at their most standard form, have always been the latest thing. It's just that my latest thing stopped around 1965. So, you know,
I think it's important that you don't, like, I think it's important that you understand why you don't like it.
Mm, you know, yeah, and, I think
and to
you're
say,
completely
to
right.
say, to say it's the wrong move and to say it's it doesn't make sense. What you're saying there doesn't make sense at all. And I think that's an important thing to think about.
What I'm imagining is someone doing this podcast in like whenever it was, 2002 or something, when Fender first introduced rolled fretboard edges. You know, something that has become like a total staple and was like
one of the locking best tuners.
Yeah. Or rolled fretboard edges. You know, it made such a difference to how the guitars feel. You pick up a 90s Strat and then you pick up an early 2000s one and it's like, oh my God, these are so much better. And the only difference in the feel is that they've rolled the fretboard edges. But I remember at the time people were like, why are they doing that? That's a bit of a... That's not what they normally do. You know, they don't normally do that. So why are they doing it now? I don't like it. That was the Joe Branton of 2001.
You're completely right. You're completely right. I think maybe I, and you're right. I need to view this product not for me picking up a guitar, but for what this represents. Maybe I need to view this guitar the same way that Jay is viewing the Automatone, in that it's not a product for him. But it's him. He appreciates how important this product is as a milestone. Maybe I need to do that a bit better with the Pro 2 series from Fender and understand that, you know, whilst it's absolutely not for me, it's definitely a fantastic product.
I wouldn't even necessarily say milestone. They're just really good. I mean, I think that's what it comes down to is the American Pro Series and, you know, Fender in that kind of middle tier American guitar, they're just getting better all the time. They're really, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I still think the Juno's better, but I feel slightly better,
Joe,
now about the Am Pro 2.
Let's wait a year and redeem this when we have gone into stores and tried both. Get me a Harmony and we'll all go
into store. I mean, I have
tried
both. I'm the only one who has.
Yeah, and I've tried neither.
I think you're gonna jump ship and take into consideration the listener's choice and the arguments of Mark and Jay and select the American Pro Jazzmaster.
I'd say third place. Like I said, Cap Drex in second, Tomatone first.
Well, we haven't even... There's been zero argument about either of those.
No,
there's
I don't
very
think there is
easy
an argument, is there?
No. Very easy first and second place. And I'm absolutely willing to accept the three hosts outvoting me and the Fender American Pro Jazzmaster taking the second runners-up place in our Gear of the Year for 2020, which is exactly, you know, the Fender American Pro, obviously selected by our listeners and selected by our hosts now. The Captor X, which also featured in the listeners' choices, is a comfortable second for us. And the Chase Bliss Automatone, probably the least talked about product in this Gear of the Year, because we've been so relatively dead set on it. But the Automatone Preamp Mark II is crowned the best piece of guitar equipment of 2020. Oh, there we are.
Another year.
We made it.
Another year.
Another year.
We've bloody done it.
Just about made it.
We've done it. We've done it. All
series
three
one
products. Series one. Series
one.
Series one
complete.
Series one is finished. So
who shot
so
JR? Who shot JB? I mean, you
oh
know,
my God.
Any one of us really, based on the evidence of this podcast.
Well, I guess, you know, dear listener, you of course also know the winning products from the Bass Guitar Nerds podcast, which I don't know at this point. But yes, this is the final episode then for this year, the last episode in the Gear of the Year series. Thank you very much for tuning in every week and listening to us, and every day this week for listening to the Gear of the Year 2020. Fender American Pro Jazzmaster, Two Notes, Torpedo Captor X and the Chase Bliss Automatone Preamp Mark II in at first place. That is Gear of the Year 2020 from Guitar Nerds. We'll be back in 2020-21 with more of this guitar nerdery. Thank you very much to my co-hosts, Mark Packham, Jay Cross and Matt Knight. You've been absolutely fantastic as always. I have been middling to average. We'll be back next year with more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Cheers, bye-bye. Gang.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.